speaker today is Alexander Soroka. He's from the University of Delaware, and he's going to be giving his talk on effects of in-season fertilization strategies on nitrogen use efficiency and yield of irrigated corn.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Alex Soroka. Amy Schober is my advisor, and I've come here from Delaware to talk about how the timing and the rate of nitrogen fertilizer application can influence both the yield and nitrogen use efficiency of irrigated corn. Our research comes out of necessity, as our region is a large poultry producer. I'm talking about Delmarva, that is the peninsula made up of Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. Annually, we produce over 550 million broilers, and that requires a lot of feed. And our producers, our grain and soybean producers, have a lot of land under cultivation, about 190,000 hectares of corn, which is able to reach about 80% of our demand. That number for land area is actually over 10% of Delmarva's land area. Of the corn that we grow, approximately 30% is irrigated, and that number is rising every year. The reason being that irrigation can help you weather inclement weather when you have dry spells. You're able to produce high yields and maintain those from year to year. The trouble comes, we have a challenger with nutrition, which escapes our crops and our sellable grain and ends up into surface water. I want you to look at the figure on the left here and not point at any one thing, but look at the color. This is a map of groundwater return times to surface water in Delaware. Anything green or blue means that you have less than a 30-year return time, which means that on average, our time from groundwater in Delaware into surface water is less than 30 years. It's a leaky landscape. We also have a bypass of our riparian buffer zones. When some talk about nutrient regulation, they talk about stopping nutrition from entering our waterways. You'll put in a grassy filter strip, a wetland, a riparian buffer zone, trees, 60-meter wide, whatever. In Delmarva, we have a coastal plain landscape with very flat topography and sandy soils. Our groundwater is oxic, which is not conducive to nitrification, and we see intrusion directly into surface water. So the chemistry which leaves your field can likely be the chemistry which enters directly into the stream, circumnavigating those denitrification areas. And so this research looks to find the nexus in between optimal timing and rate to improve our nutrient use efficiency. If we can recommend a lower fertilizer rate, then we will need to apply less fertilizer while maintaining the same yields and providing less risk to groundwater resources. So our field site, We did a plot study in southern Delaware. It's in an agriculturally dominated county of Sussex County. We have a 10-hectare center pivot with climate and soils that are typical of the Delmarvan Peninsula, and we have loamy sands on site with a weather station as well. The nitrogen fertilizer treatments that we have, this figure was taken from Illinois. The Illinois Extension Group. We have a control treatment for 2015. 2014 didn't have one. We did not have a no-N fertilizer treatment then, but we added one in 2015. So the first treatment is no fertilizer with and without irrigation. Then we also add, and these are similar to what many producers use in our region, we use the poultry litter that we get from all the poultry houses. So we'll put down a certain amount. Then you put down an amount of starter. And so these two numbers here for our field are representative of what you would put down in terms of plant available nitrogen for our expected yield if it was rain-fed crops. We then add fertilizer rates as a side dress at V5, the growth stage being decided by the collar. And these are we add side dress at V5. And this is done using a center pivot. So our center pivot, we're able to inject urea ammonium nitrate into the irrigation line. And when that comes over the pivot, it goes through low-hanging drip nozzles, which lie in between the core plants. These have a modular system controlled by a computer, which allows us to shut and turn off these. And so we're able to vary the amount of fertilizer which we apply. And the rates that you see here, 320, 260, and 200 kilograms per hectare, represent at our university recommendation of about 1 pound per bushel or 1 kilo per 63 kilos of grain yield, about 80% of university recommendation, and then 60% of our university recommendation. We then take this and we do the exact same thing, but we do the exact same rates, but we add them in a fertigation scheme. at V5, V8, V11, and V13 to see whether or not we can better match corn uptake needs. The experimental design, we use a complete randomized block design. Our 8 to 11 treatments between 2014 and 2015 are replicated 7 times. They have randomized block counter soil variability, and our plot size is 20 by 20 meter. This is the smallest we can go without having too much overspray from our drift nozzles. For yield, we collect yield using a weigh wagon on the back of a combine, and we collect soils pre and post season. We collect above ground biomass after harvest, that is the whole plant and the grain, and we separate those and analyze them for total nitrogen. When we collect all of our samples, due to concerns about drift, we only sample from the center of the plots to make sure that even if there is drift, we wouldn't catch any of that. And then we used statistical software Jump Pro 12, and a mixed model ANOVA with the two keys on a significant difference set at 0.05. And what does it look like? If you were to walk outside and see our fields, they look like this. So that, where this line appears, that is the border row right there. And you can see that on the left, you have really happy corn, really well fed, and on the right, it's really hungry corn, really yellow. And that's on the left side there, that's the 80% treatment, and on the right side there, you have the only manure and starter fertilizer with irrigation. To analyze nutrient use efficiency, nitrogen use efficiency, there's many ways you can do it, and today I'll be talking about our most simplest form, which is the partial factor productivity, which is basically the yield off of your field, and you divide that by the amount of fertilizer which you supply. The difference is that we're taking the yield, which we returned off 2012, 2014, and 2015, and we multiply that grain weight by the percentage of total nitrogen. So what we're saying is, how much nitrogen are you taking off the field in the form of grain versus what you applied? And this is the nitrogen which would leave the field as a measured quantity to go towards a feed mill. So, what did we find? 2014. On the top here we have yield, and on the bottom, the x-axis, you have all of our nitrogen treatments. On the left side, the 121 kilogram per hectare represents just manure and starter fertilizer. Then you have the side drift treatments and the fertigation treatments. So if you look at the yield figure on the top, the first thing that's immediately apparent is that adding fertilizer increases your yield. And we had no significant difference in between our yields. Why is this the case? We had a really, really good growing season in 2014. The center pivot, it's cold nights and warm days, clear skies, and rain came at the optimal time. And so corn was really, really happy. And so we got really high yields. And our the lower fertilized treatments were performing like we would expect some of the irrigated treatments on a normal year. And then if you look at the N uptake, it's quite a large number. In the for the only manure and starter, we're over 100% efficient. We're taking more nitrogen than we applied from the field. And we believe this is related to the amount of organic matter. So the poultry litter we apply and generally assume about 60% of what we apply of the total nitrogen is available, but perhaps the growing conditions allowed the plants to mine more of that nitrogen out. And then we also see if you were to apply less fertilizer, you would have a higher efficiency because your yield is the exact same. So would you be able to make a further recommendation on this towards your producers? I think not, because it was a great year and we can't really plan for that. So what happened in 2015? Uh-oh. If you were to add more fertilizer, you have more yield. If you see on the left side of this image, we have two no fertilized plots. The one on the left side is an irrigated plot. The one on the right side is a non-irrigated plot. And this story is incredibly similar to 2014. Basically, if you were to add more fertilizer, we got more yield off of our fields. The nutrient use efficiency, again, was quite similar. And the reason is the same. We had very good growing conditions this year in 2015. And so from this data alone, there isn't much to say. And so what I'm presenting here is numbers that we have from grain. We still have data that will return from the whole plant and the soil, which we can further analyze. And what we hope to find after this is we're looking to build a mass balance from the nitrogen that's also held within the soil, and we also know the nitrogen which is taken up from our irrigation system. And we're going to build a more complex form of nutrient use efficiency to see if we can discern a difference, because from the past 2 years, we don't see much. But what we can say, and I forgot to mention this in the methods, we do have lysimeters inside of our plots. So these lysimeters are tubes, PVC tubes with a ceramic cap on the end. You apply a vacuum to them, and over 24 hours, they will pull water out. That's the pore water. You can then analyze that for nitrogen and determine, to an extent, the concentration of the nitrogen in your pore water. And so the next slide here is the nitrate that we found leaching from our fields. Now, on the left side here, these are all fertilizer treatments, and these are the ones that we discussed. And there's no difference between the fertilizer treatments. There's no statistical difference between the different fertilizer treatments. On the same farm, and this is data that I cannot talk about today, there's many irrigation treatments that they're trying as well to investigate nitrogen use efficiency. And those irrigation treatments are based on either evapotranspiration models, 100%, 80% replenishment, or they're based on soil moisture probes at 4, 6, or different levels in the ground. And the moisture probes, you can activate the irrigation system when your soil moisture hits a certain pressure level. So if your major pressure hits 20 centibars, you can irrigate, or if it's 50 centibars, you irrigate. And what we found here, and this is data from 2015, is the irrigation treatment, the one on the left, irrigation one, that higher diamond, is a higher irrigation treatment. So we would activate at a lower stress level. And so in 2014 and 2015, while there was no real difference in the yield, and there were significant differences in the nitrogen uptake and the nitrogen which moved off the field in forms of grain, perhaps the difference in really good weather years is not so much the fertilizer treatments which you apply, but perhaps it's the level at which you irrigate. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge the University Cooperative Extension, our campus team, our Carville research team who helped run the farm, EPA in Denwark, the USGS. And with that, I'll take any questions. Thank you.
We have time for some questions.
So these lysimeters, we bought them from the company Aerometer, and they are 24-inch depth, so we have them down to 24 inches. They're 2.5 centimeters wide, and the ceramic cap is fit for a loamy sand. We apply a pressure of, it's English, 50, sorry? Yeah, exactly. So I didn't present that information. So the question was about our soil sampling. What samples did we take? What depth of the samples did we take? The sampling depth that we used was 20 centimeters. The reason we did that is it's the common test used in our region, and it's one that producers would use. It's about the length of a shovel tip. I didn't include the soil values here because I wanted to use them for a different analysis. And off the top of my head, I don't have a residual number for you. Sorry.
Any other questions for Alex? Okay, thank you.
Thanks.